You're listening to Finance for Beginners. This is the podcast that demystifies how Wall Street investment works, including all of that confusing jargon and what it all means to you. It's explained to you by veteran investor and broker, John Lemmerman. So, John, we constantly hear about stocks and bonds. It's like all one big word, all mushed together. But those are actually two different things, aren't they?
Yeah. Stocks are ownership in a company, where bonds represent ownership of a company's debt.
So if I'm buying a stock, for example, I am buying a part of a company, is basically what's happening.
Correct.
Okay. And if I'm buying a bond, I'm underwriting a debt.
Yes. You are lending to a company when you buy a bond. Okay. And you're going to receive an interest payment for that.
Okay. Now, I'm sort of familiar with the idea of government bonds, because I had a savings bond when I was a kid, or a couple of them. And I think the way that worked was that I had to hold it for a period of years, pay one amount. I think I paid $20 and hold on to it for 5 years and got $25 in return. I think those are the numbers. I could be wrong. But that's the general idea, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what a bond is that I'm loaning. In that particular case, I was loaning the government money, and then they were paying it back with interest.
Correct. In the case of companies, it's important to know that if a company goes bankrupt, the common stockholders can be wiped out. The bondholders are paid off first. So the bondholders are ahead of the stockholders as far as getting restitution of their investment.
Now, in the case of a stock, why would a company, I would say that the ABC company is put together and they're doing well and they're making money, and now all of a sudden, why do they want to issue stock? How does that work? What are they doing? Because I've heard that phrase, issuing stock, and I've heard an initial public offering, IPO, am I remembering that right?
Yes, the initial public offering is usually when stocks come to market, when they come out. It typically is a way that the original management team and the original investors who put up a stake to get the company going, this is how they get paid off.
Oh, okay.
Now, when the stock goes public, there's usually a lockup period, and there can be several lockup periods of 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, out to 18 months. And if you were an original investor, you can sell so much at 3 months, so much at 6 months, and a lot of times, after the initial public offering, it'll take 18 months before that overhang of selling is sold off.
Okay, so the idea for them is to raise funds.
Correct.
Okay, but they're in fact losing a certain control or certain ownership over the company in the process. So that's something they have to balance out, and they have to weigh one against the other. So why would a company sell a bond or issue a bond?
They would issue a bond for cash needs, for inventory, to meet payroll, just to make sure they have the right amount of operating funds on hand. But they might also issue bonds to take over another company. They might discover a new technology that they think is extraordinary, that they want to really ramp up and invest in. So I would say those are the reasons why you would be selling bonds.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, kind of determine what a stock is and what a bond is. We hear about the stock market all of the time. We know what a stock is. I kind of know what a market is. It's a place to buy and sell stuff. I go to a farmer's market to buy tomatoes and cookies. The stock market is, that's kind of where these things are bought and sold, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so I can just walk into the stock market and shop around a little bit like I'm buying vegetables.
Well, most of the trading is done online now.
Okay.
And years ago, it used to be that there was pits full of floor traders that used what was called open outcry and hand signals to make trades, buying and selling. And what happened were these exchanges were also privately held companies, and these exchanges have gone public. And so the exchanges themselves have gone public and sold stock. And with the advent of electronic trading, this became a real easy thing to do. So if you're watching a stock market show like CNBC or something like that, and they're down on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, there's really not that many people around. There's just a few people. There's not the old-fashioned large group of traders in the
Like we
pits.
used to see in the
Yeah,
movies.
yeah, yeah. Like you used to see in movies doing trading. It's mostly done electronically now.
Okay, now you said exchanges, so that would indicate that there's more than one exchange.
The United States has three big ones. They have the New York Stock Exchange. The New York Stock Exchange, to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange, you need to be showing that you can make money. That's a stipulation to be on the New York Stock Exchange. The NASDAQ, which you do not necessarily have to make money, you don't have to have profits to be listed on the NASDAQ. The other one is the Amex, the American Stock Exchange. There's a lot of natural resource and energy companies on the American Stock Exchange. There's also an over-the-counter market, and these are sometimes called the pink sheets. And these are for tiny little companies that may not be making any money. They may not even be filing their financial reports on a timely basis. They don't have the characteristics to be called listed. And listed just means you're on a bigger exchange.
Okay.
Now, ExxonMobil, they could be on the American Stock Exchange and the New York Stock Exchange at the same time. Microsoft could be on two exchanges at the same time. There's probably some companies that are on three exchanges at the same time. When you put in your orders, if you're using a discount broker, it's usually routed to the quickest trade possible or the best fill possible according
Oh,
to your price.
okay. So we have three, maybe four. Now, help me out here. My understanding or feeling is that the New York Stock Exchange is large manufacturing and production kinds of things, and the NASDAQ is more of a tech. Is that kind of where like if I have a tech startup, I'm probably going to go to NASDAQ rather than New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, tech is NASDAQ, although the very biggest on the NASDAQ are on the New York Stock Exchange as well.
Gotcha.
But the New York Stock Exchange is basically everything. Healthcare is on the New York Stock Exchange, industrials, basic materials, real estate, financials. So when you're buying an index, like the S&P 500 index, that's more of a generalized bet in the US economy, where if you're buying the NASDAQ or the triple Qs, that's considered tech.
Okay, triple Q means.
The triple Qs are the 100 biggest companies in the NASDAQ, and
Okay.
they trade under the symbol QQQ.
Okay, so that's that, and then there's the Fortune 500. Those are that you find that on the American Stock Exchange, or it's New York Stock Exchange.
So the S&P 500 is the 500 biggest companies in the United States. Fortune 500 is an index that comes from Fortune magazine.
Oh, okay.
I think it's roughly the same thing now.
Gotcha. Okay. So we have those types of things. So we have a difference between the indexes that are showing 500 different companies and what their average, how their averages are doing, how they're doing, they're going up or down. And then we have these different exchanges that also have figures along those same lines. So looking at, say, the NASDAQ and then looking at the S&P 500 may not give you the exact same numbers.
Correct. Yeah, they're going to be different.
So, well, I think that kind of gives me an idea of what we're doing. Let's save the rest of it for the next episode. What do you say?
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, John. I'm Roger Humphrey, and on behalf of myself and John Lemmerman, we thank you so much for listening, and we hope you find the information really valuable. If so, please stop by Finance for Beginners for another episode. Hey, if you've got any questions, please leave them in the comments down below. I promise we will read them. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not constitute financial, investment, or legal advice. The opinions expressed by the host and guests are their own and may not reflect the views of their respective organizations or employers. While we strive to provide accurate and up-to-date information, financial markets are subject to fluctuations, and the information provided may become outdated or change over time. Always do your own research and consult with a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions or taking any financial actions. We may discuss products, services, or strategies, but our recommendations are not endorsements. Any potential conflicts of interest will be disclosed as applicable. We do not receive compensation for promoting any specific financial products or services. By listening to this podcast, you agree that the hosts, guests, and producers are not liable for any losses or damages resulting from your reliance on the information provided.